You can be turning to the book of 1 John. It's way in the back, almost to Revelation, book of Revelation. We're going to talk about love. We're going to continue the love theme this morning that we just introduced with the communion cup. That was done out of love. Christ's love for the Father and obedience to Him, our love for Christ and God and our obedience to Him. We do those things in obedience. It's a simple act of obedience, isn't it?
Yes.
Gets tougher, though, doesn't it? It gets tougher when you walk out that door and go into the world.
Amen.
Then you have to deal with everything out there, right? And, you know, it's that everything in the world out there really is working against you.
Amen.
It wants to move you further from Christ.
Amen.
But you're faithful. You come and you fellowship with the Lord and with one another, and you continue to grow in Christ.
Amen.
And that is very well pleasing to the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
Very good. Now, you know that God created all things. You know that because God's Word tells you that. Of course you knew it. Do you know why He created all things? Out of His love. He created because of His great love. How do we know that? Because Scripture tells us God is love.
Absolutely.
But it doesn't just tell us that. It shows us that He's love because He created all things. And as I said earlier, we're put up on a high pedestal in that creation. 1 John chapter 4, I should have given you the chapter earlier. It's my fault, my bad. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love.
Amen.
Have you ever sung it?
Yes.
Yeah. Children learn this verse by singing it. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So, beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. See, you put it on there so you never forget it, right? Praise God. Now, God doesn't just have love. He is love. He doesn't just give love. He is love. And verse 8 reiterates that fact. God is love. Amen?
Amen?
Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for creating all of this out of your great love so that we can enjoy it and you can enjoy it. And Lord, we know that you made it so we could have a choice. You won't make us love you. But you do things to show us that we should love you and that you indeed love us. And you are well willing and able to redeem us back from this world of sin, from our own choices that put us in that sinful predicament. And Lord, we give you praise and glory for what you knew you were going to do and how we would end up in you and with you. Praise to you, Father. Praise to you, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives in us and guides us. Help us. Help us, Lord, to follow the Holy Spirit. Be sensitive to His word and guidance that we might be not only a glory to you, but a help to others to find you as their Savior and live a life glorifying you in preparation for eternity. We give you praise and glory for your great love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Since God is love, it follows that all creation came out of love. You realize that, right? Everything was perfect up until a point.
Amen.
And then something happened, right? Not only was it created out of love, its way forward is cast in love. God has always enshrouded all of this with His love. And so once you realize that, you realize how wonderful God is and how perfect He is. Everything moving forward was cast in His love, including Satan's challenge to God's love and authority. You know, Satan was created as a beautiful angel, but he fell, didn't he? God allowed Satan to challenge His love and authority. That was part of the plan. Sometimes we forget that. God has a plan, had a plan, continues to have that plan and work it. And we're all living under that plan. God allowed Satan to do what he did to perfect our love. Yes, it was done for our benefit. We needed to be more than mindless clones and make a heartfelt decision to love our Creator. That is what He desired for us. Love Him as He loves us. He brought this love, this power that overcomes the fear of Satan. That's what people should fear, the power of Satan to condemn them for eternity to hell because they followed him. But Christ brings love. He brings power that overcomes that fear. And you're living in that power now. You, anytime you get that feeling of fear for whatever reason, just remember, God loves you, created you, gave you Jesus Christ, His Son. Put the Holy Spirit in you to empower you to walk through this world in His glory, not in the enemy's fear. Amen? We are children of God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. And if we choose to believe that, we are indeed His children. And just as we sang in that song, He seals that decision with His love. He brings it to us through the Holy Spirit. He seals it with the blood of His Son. And then we are prepared to move on into glory. For eternity. For eternity. Nevermore having to deal with a sinful, fallen world. We are released to the eternal power that through the Holy Spirit continues to overcome fear. If we were just left to our own devices, we wouldn't be able to do it. We would fall back and falter all the time. It's hard enough now, as we talked about in Bible study, to keep our mind fixed on moving forward in the Holy Spirit. We often forget about His power in us, and we fall back until we are reminded, hey, you don't need to fall back. You've got the Holy Spirit. You've got God in you. Move forward. Proclaim that and move forward. Amen? The power of the Holy Spirit continues up to this moment and will continue until we are standing in glory to overcome that fear that haunts the world. Praise God. The Spirit's continuing work. Verse 12b and 13 in chapter 4 there of the First John says, and your version may read a little bit different, that's okay, you'll get the gist. If we love one another, God abides in us. God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. How do we know that? Because we're showing love, even when we don't want to show it. We have mercy, we show grace, and we live in that love. And I'm not talking about the mushy-gushy love, you know, that romance brings. I'm talking about the self-sacrificing love, the agape love that Christ demonstrated on the cross. He went to the cross because He loved the Father, and that gave Him the spirit of obedience to follow and do what was necessary for our redemption. Let us love one another, for love is of God, and we are receiving that. And in His love, It's been perfected in us. And by this we know that we abide in Him. Am I really saved? You ever ask yourself that question? Am I really saved? Well, the answer is, am I showing love? Am I merciful to people? Am I gracious to people? Do I imitate Jesus Christ? No, I don't have to die per se. I'm not going to physically die, but I'm going to die to my desires, my wants, and what I want before I give to other people, see? That's how we sacrifice today. And that love is perfected in us. And it lets us know that we abide in Him and He abides in us. Because we're willing to sacrifice our desires for His goodness, right? And that's what you do when you work in the marketplace, when you go out and witness to people, when you teach a Bible class, when you come in and praise the Lord. I mean, there's a gazillion other things you could be doing on Sunday morning. But no, you chose to come and worship the God that loves you and gave Himself for you.
Amen.
That says something about you, right? Sure it does. The Holy Spirit is working to perfect God's love in us by showing us how to love one another. We're not just in this blindly walking around. The Holy Spirit is leading us. The question is, are you following His lead? You see, that's where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? He prompts you to something, and are you going to follow Him or not? Does He allow you to ask questions? Is this really the way? Is this really what I'm supposed to be doing? Yes, He lets you ask that question, and then He shows you, yes, it is the way, or no, that's not what I meant. This is what I want you to do. So He is our guide. Amen? We reflect the love when we humble ourselves to God's Spirit and we follow His lead. We glorify the Lord by following the Holy Spirit in striving to perfect our reflection of Him. That's what we're striving for. We want to show the Lord to everybody else we encounter out there in the world. Because when they see Him through us, they'll become interested. They'll ask questions. They'll want to know more. And then that opens the door to invite them to come and learn more. Amen?
Amen.
And so we should be striving to perfect our reflection of Christ. That's the love we show back to Him. We want to imitate Him. That's the love we show. Let's imitate Him. Please turn to Ezekiel chapter 28. It's in the Old Testament. Ezekiel, Old Testament prophet. Ezekiel 28, verse 12. Ezekiel 28, verse 12. We're going to find the Holy Spirit here using metaphorical hyperbole, some high-sounding literary words, to symbolize and compare a human ruler's pride. God is going to use a human to demonstrate the fall of a cosmic spiritual ruler because of his pride. You probably already have an idea who I'm talking about. Some prideful angel that thought he could do a better job than God. At least he was very selfish in what he wanted to do. So we're going to find this story in Ezekiel 28 and verse 12. This passage is often interpreted as a double reference to both the literal King Tyre. Tyre was a country, a nation back then along the Mediterranean Sea coast. They had a king. It's going to compare him with the highest created angel, Lucifer. Lucifer was his name before he fell. The grandeur of Lucifer is described in the form of a king. Lucifer's desire, though, to be king of creation, not just of Tyre. He wanted the whole thing. It led him to his downfall. And then, now we know him as Satan. Created as Lucifer, his name meant light bearer. He was created to show God to all others. He was a magnificent creature, an angel brought forth in love. Because that's the way God created. He created in love. That's the way he created Satan at first as Lucifer. Satan's outward appearance was beyond beautiful. We can't even imagine it. We have the description here. We're going to read it. But we can't really picture it. You know, this is where a good cinematography presentation would come in handy, right? Nonetheless, it says here, Son of Man. This is the Holy Spirit speaking to Ezekiel. He calls him Son of Man because he's working for God. And he says, take up a lamentation. Take up this saying, this knowledge that I want to give you to present to others. Take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. You ever think about that? Other spiritual beings being present there in the garden? Yes, we know he was there because we know what he eventually did. But if he was there, certainly there were other spirits there as well. And at that time, they were not yet fallen. So they were positive spirits. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. Now that tips us off that there's nothing that says he is God. He is not God, never was, never will be. You were created. God created you. Verse 14. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways. Created perfect. Till iniquity found you. Till iniquity was found in you. And then he fell. Scripture goes on to tell of the final disposition of the city of Tyre, its king, and also Satan. Lucifer was created with the ability to choose, just like we were. We have that choice. That's not always the case for all angels. They are servants of God. So God made a special dispensation for them, I'll say. He was allowed to choose. And what did he choose? Disobedience. He chose pride and self above the work that God would have him to do. And because he was disobedient, he fell. He was disobedient against God, and he knowingly influenced other angels to disobey and fall with him, disobeying God. Yet this was God's plan. You ever wrap your brain around that one? God wasn't taken by surprise by this. He knew it was going to happen. He planned it to happen. Why? Why did he plan? Well, hopefully we'll find out here. How do we know he planned it? We know because God didn't destroy Satan or his minions. If he hadn't planned it, he would have ended it right then. But he had a purpose. God always has a purpose for us. You know what it is? To bring us closer to him. To take us with him in the new creation. Yep. This is not the final destination for all of us. We're going on to a perfect, perfect creation and life with our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
God allowed their continued existence, Satan and his minions, to work their work and his work. They didn't realize his work became their work, and he was using them for that. God allowed the negative to highlight the positive so we could all learn that we needed God. We needed Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit. He wanted us to know. Just as God didn't destroy us when we chose to be disobedient and sin. Oh, we don't like to think about it, do we? But there was a time, and maybe there's still times, when we choose the wrong way. We're stubborn people. The Bible even tells us that. We are stubborn, and we want our way. But the best way is to follow the Lord. Amen? Amen. Follow Him by following the Holy Spirit. God doesn't destroy us when we choose disobedience and sin, does He? But what does get destroyed? Our relationship, our connection with Him. That gets destroyed. Is there a repair for that? Yes, there is. It's called repentance. We admit it. We confess it. We ask the Lord to forgive it. And does the Holy Spirit come in and say, yes, you're forgiven. Let's go on. Let's move forward. Because that's how God loves us. We're not destined for the trash bin of eternity. We are going to be with our Creator God who loves us. Amen?
Amen.
God's love protects us from eternal death. Oh, we don't like to hear about that, do we? But there is such a thing as eternal death. Simply, it's eternity without God, without Christ, without the Holy Spirit, without that love and encouragement that they give. Yes, there's torture there, but I think the greatest torture is going to be that we knew, they knew, because we're heading in a different direction, those who are there knew they had another alternative, but they didn't choose it. A couple of weeks ago, it was freezing cold here. Do you remember that?
Yes.
28 on the back porch. Water pans for the animals frozen. It was some kind of cold, right? So before you went out, you had to make a choice, didn't you? Am I going to put on all those heavy coats and struggle with all that? Or am I just going to make a dash for it and be cold? I'm going to get in the car. I'll be okay. And then when I get to work, I'll be there, right? It'll all be okay. But you had to brave that a bit, right? Am I going to put on a nice warm coat or just chance it and see if I'll be okay? Well, I don't know what you did, but I know what I did.
Right.
This old boy was born in Florida, and he's a cracker through and through, all right? I put on a coat, and then when I opened the door, I decided one wasn't enough. I went and got another one and put that one on too, right? I'm going out here in the cold. I'm going to be out there a while. I want to be warm. I ended up sweating in it, but at any rate, that's the way I wanted it. So you see, we have a choice. We can have it the way we want it, even if that's not okay. So we need to find the best way. So we need to search the Scriptures and follow the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
We need to put on a nice, warm coat. The nice, warm coat of salvation through Jesus Christ. That's what prepares us for the rest of this life and on into eternity. Jesus gave us the love, His love, and we need to be born again before we go out of this world. Yes, that's the end of the time limit that you have. So people that are living it up out there, they need to know there's a limit to this. You're not going to live forever. Secretly, they know that inside, but they don't want to admit it, right? So we have to be the boogeyman and remind them of that. There is an alternative. You will have to sacrifice a bit, but the end result will be so wonderful you can't even imagine it. That's what we're looking for. Because even though God didn't destroy Satan because he was part of the plan to bring good, God doesn't destroy us, because we're part of that plan to bring good as well. We do things deserving of God's death, do we not? I don't want to ask you to think back on that. Think about the forgiveness that God has given you, that you don't have to think about it. But God doesn't destroy us because we're part of His plan for good. We just need to be aware of that time limit. They need to be aware of the time limit. That's part of our job. We're supposed to be giving the good news that Jesus put an end to the time limit. One has until they pass from this life to eternity to receive God's goodness of salvation. That's why I keep bringing it up. That's why we keep saying it. That's what God wants us to tell them. If you leave without Jesus, you won't be out in the cold. You'll be in the heat of eternal damnation. And the worst thing about it is, you'll know you could have been with Jesus. But you didn't choose that. I think that'll be the worst part of the whole thing. The point is, God has a plan. It's still unfolding. Satan was made to be more than just a worship leader. That's why he was originally created. He was also made as a catalyst to bring a change, an angel who was to be used to make a way for a coming event. You know what I'm talking about? You probably have an idea, right? A coming event. God used Satan, used him to reveal the knowledge of good and evil. How do you know good if you don't know evil? How do you know the positive if you don't know the negative? You see, it all makes sense. And God wants us to understand. So He makes it make sense so that nobody can stand before Him and say, "You didn't explain it well enough. You didn't give me enough information. You didn't take me to the right places. You didn't give me the right message." Listen, there's no excuse that can be given before God. No excuse. So, God used Satan to reveal the knowledge of good and evil and the choice that's set before all humanity. The choice you've already made, obviously, because you're here. You chose to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You chose to get closer to God. You chose to take the path that would bring you to Him in eternity. So you could enjoy eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We don't know how long Adam and Eve lived in the garden before Satan appeared. We just don't know. But what we do know is God allowed Satan to appear in the garden when the time was right. They had a time with God, and then they had time when Satan came and the fall happened. Just as God called Abraham to establish God's people, He called him when the time was right. Not too soon, not too late. And then He called Moses to lead those people out of bondage in Egypt when the time was right. It's about God's time, isn't it? Just as God called David, King David, to establish Christ's throne when the time was right. The Lord brings people on the scene to do His will when the time is right. Just as our Savior Jesus Christ came when the time was right. And Scripture tells us just that. He came when the time was right. Christ will return.
He will.
Jesus Christ will return.
Yes.
When the time is right.
Praise God.
Do you think we're almost there?
Yeah.
I do. I think we're almost there. I'm just kind of waiting for, you know, the big call home. Of course, I'm not going to say when it's going to happen. I don't know. Nobody knows. Only the Lord God knows. And that will be a great day when it happens, all right? Christ will return to claim His church when the time is right. Just as Jesus Christ will return and establish His earthly kingdom on this planet when the time is right. But that won't be the end then either. There'll be a short time left. But you need to remember, Jesus Christ will have the final victory over evil.
Amen.
Jesus is the victory. There's a song like that, right? Christ is the victory, right? That overcame the world. And then we will go into His eternal kingdom. All that's going to happen on a time frame that God the Father has laid out. He hasn't given us the whole scenario. We're waiting, aren't we? We're hoping it's going to be soon. I'm hoping it's going to be soon. All of those events are done out of love. God's love for you. Why does God love you? Because you responded to the Holy Spirit in a positive way. And you said, yes, I trust Jesus and the sacrifice of His blood and body to redeem me. That's why you love Him. You recognize His goodness to you and His sacrifice for you. Now listen. We live in the time of whosoever will. Whosoever will. Whosoever will hear the truth about Christ and respond by accepting Him. That's what we're talking about. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord. What will happen? What will happen? One more time. Call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. That's exactly right. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ, will be saved. You hear any wishy-washiness in there? Any doubt in there? Is God just kind of playing with us a little bit? No. He's being perfectly honest. You want to be saved? You got to call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is it. That is the only way. He is the only way. He is our Savior King. Amen. Whoever shall call on the name of the Lord will receive guidance and companionship. You're not in this by yourself. The Holy Spirit comes and lives in you and begins to guide you so that you will be living a life that's pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll feel good. You'll feel good about it, right? How do you know when you're pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ? You feel good about it, right? And the same happens if you're not. You feel bad about it. And so you can do something about it. You can ask for forgiveness and get back on track. Amen?
Yeah.
Now is the time. Now is the time to cry out for Jesus. That's what we need to be telling everybody out there. Have you heard about Jesus? Now is the time to cry out to Him to be saved from the tragedy that's coming. You can't tell them, you know, right out. Save you from the devil and the destruction of the world. You lose them right then. They don't want to hear all that. Tragedy is coming. What tragedy? That's what they'll be thinking. What tragedy? And then you can get a little further with them. But now is the time to cry out to Jesus. Cry out for salvation. I need salvation? What are you talking about? You're probably going to get that. You'll have to go into it with us. Now, if you get a good chance, you might have a relationship where you'll see Him again. You can give Him more information. But if not, give Him what you can when you got Him. All right? Don't be ashamed about it. Let Him have it with love. Don't yell at Him like I'm yelling, you know. Just give it with love. Liz often gets on to me. You know you're talking really loud. Okay. Just have it. Time is passing. Time is passing. It's going to run out. We don't know when. Could be today. We don't know. But time is definitely passing. People need to cry out to Jesus so that they can get saved and start showing the love and salvation of Him to their families. That's what you've been doing, right? You've been witnessing to your families. Why can't we go boating on Sunday morning? Well, I'm going to church. Well, we like to go to the early morning breakfast buffet. Can't you go? No, I'm going to church. You see, those little things, they ping on people that don't want to be interested in this. And so it's a subtle reminder that a time is coming when you'll wish you had have gone to church.
Amen.
Because you would have found out about Jesus Christ. You would have found out about God's love. You would have found out that Jesus is God's love answer. He's God's love answer to all who cry out. What do they usually say? Save me! Help me! Get me out of this! Million different ways you can say it, but they're crying out to the Lord for help. Help them to live in this world. Help them to live with the Holy Spirit in them while they're in the world. That's where we really want to be, is it not? We want God's helper helping us for the rest of the time we're here. So how is that going to happen? Humbleness. You have to humble yourself to the Holy Spirit. He is talking to those people out there right now. Every single person that comes into this world, the Holy Spirit is pressuring them. Good pressure, pressuring them. You know, some people think bad things happen to people so God can intervene. No, that's wrong. God doesn't do bad things to people. God is love. We need to always remember that. Love doesn't do bad things to manipulate you into doing something else. It just doesn't work, okay? So always remember that. So we need to love through the Holy Spirit. We need to submit to His will. We need to love Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit with all that we are and serve Him. Amen. You're serving Him right now. You're here in his house, praising Him and being a testimony to everybody else that's here that you care, right? And you want to be walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. You love Him with all you are. You're serving Him. You love everyone with Christ's sacrificial love. You imitate Jesus by being kind, by being considerate, by being gracious, by showing the love, by being helpful to them. There's a gazillion ways you can do it. I can't name them all, but you can get the picture. So, serve Him. Love everyone with Christ's love. However, the Holy Spirit leads you to do that. It's not always the same either. It can be different. One day it's this, another day it's that. But it's still showing the love of Christ. Show them the love, Christ's sacrificial love. Drink the whole cup. Drink the whole cup. That's what Jesus said in the communion. Drink the whole cup. Imitate me completely. That's what He wants. And when you experience that, that's what you will want. Leave the fear behind. Give that to the Lord. Don't worry and have anxiety about your relationship with Jesus. Give in to it. Humble yourself. Walk in the Spirit, and you'll be living His plan for your life. That's how you find out. You submit yourself in humbleness to the Holy Spirit and you follow His lead for your life. It's not the same for everybody. Everybody humbles, but everybody doesn't do the same thing. There are people right now who are serving as missionaries overseas. There's some in the United States serving as missionaries in cities in the United States. There's pastors preaching, just like we're having this church this morning. It's happening all over the country. All over the world, as a matter of fact. There's all kinds of ways to humble yourself and serve the Lord. But you won't get one. You won't get one way to do it until you humble yourself. Humble yourself. And tell Him you're ready. I'm ready to humble myself. This altar is here before you so that you can cry out to the Lord. Cry out to the Lord. Ask Him to help you follow the Holy Spirit. And then you know what He'll do? He'll communicate with the Holy Spirit. Help, help, help is required. Go, help. And He will. He'll lead you from that moment on. And you'll know it. You'll know it. Cry out for salvation. Cry out for any help you need from the Lord. Doesn't matter to Him, whatever it is. Cry out. That's all that matters to Him. Humble yourself and ask Him. Cry out for His leadership. That's why He died. He gave Himself so He could lead you into salvation. Sure He did. And then he went back to glory, but he left the Holy Spirit to continue leading you.
Amen.
Didn't end with him going back. That was really just the beginning. But if you want to begin, you've got to do it by humbling yourself. Telling him you're ready. And then following him.